Thankful for the prayer. Enjoyed the good song service. Thank God for each and every one of you that have come this way this morning. I believe we have a great friendship and fellowship here in this world that the Lord has provided for us through our relationship, our trust, and hope with the darling Savior, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We have a kinship in the Lord and a love in the Lord that is a tie that truly does bind our hearts a whole lot closer than any other relationship we could have in this world. Even bloodline relationships can run thin, but the blood of Jesus really ties the children of God together into a family of God. And that wasn't anything that we did to gain for ourselves, but what was done for us by and through the grace of Almighty God. And we have Him to meet today. We meet with one another and we gather together to worship Him and to lift up the precious name of Jesus Christ. And very, very thankful for the prayer. I ask each of you just to continue to pray for me. If you have your Bibles and would like to turn with me, I'd like to read to you this morning from the Old Testament in the Psalms, the writing of the Psalms. I'm going to read the entirety of the 32nd Psalm, Psalm 32. It is a Psalm of David and a Psalm left, as all of them are, in the Word of God for our instruction and for our learning. And I'm very, very thankful that we have such a wonderful book today as the Bible that we can go to be our rule of faith and practice, to help teach us and help shine a light. It's the Word of God is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. And in this dark world, we surely do need light today, don't we? We need direction. And God's people need to remember this is where we really should go for our instruction and for our learning. Oftentimes we go to other places and we seek out counsel from faulty sources. I'm amazed of how much information, or rather misinformation, is found today in the world so readily available just at a moment. And you pull it up and just about anything you want to find out about something or think you want to know about something, you can just at a touch of a button or even a voice, response, have all kinds of things flow out of a little box and a little machine of all kinds of information. And then you have to decipher through all that, and whatever you want to believe, you usually can find somebody telling you that. And if you want to believe this about it, then you can find that. And if I think I've got a symptom or something, I want to find out what's wrong with me, I'll plug that symptom in, and next thing you know, I got everything in the world going on. And even if you think, well, does this cause this? And I've come to see everything causes everything. And no matter what it is, well, that's the cause of it. Whatever you want it to be, somebody will confirm it. And you can walk away with misinformation. But the Bible is not like that. Today we come to a book where we're not going to come away with misinformation. Now, we may get it out of context. We may twist it or force fit a passage or get something out of place and come away with all kinds of information, but it'd be because we went outside of what the Bible says rather than what it truly says. When we go to the Lord, by the Spirit of Almighty God, He leads us and directs us, and we go to His Word, we will get good counsel from God's Word. And our nation is in trouble today, not because they followed the Scripture, but because they've ignored it and ignore the teachings, the clear, plain teachings of God's Word. Not only our nation, but each and every one of us from time to time in our lives, when we neglect to follow the Word of God, it is to our hurt and to our detriment. And you will never be ashamed about taking the Bible and taking what it says and believing it and putting it into place in your life. It will not hurt you. It will help you. The teachings of God's Word won't make you sick. They'll make you well. They'll strengthen you. It won't make you go the wrong way. It'll help you to go the right way. And God's Word is filled completely with the things that you and I need to know today in this world. And a lot of that's contained in this 32nd Psalm. David says, "Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, in whose spirit there is no guile. When I kept silence, my bones waxed old through my roaring all the day long. For day and night thy hand was heavy upon me. My moisture is turned into the drought of summer. Selah. I acknowledge my sin unto thee, and mine iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgression unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. Selah. For this shall everyone that is godly pray unto thee in a time when thou mayest be found. Surely in the floods of great waters they shall not come nigh unto him. Thou art my hiding place. Thou shalt preserve me from trouble. Thou shalt compass me about with songs of deliverance. Selah. I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. Be ye not as the horse or as the mule, which have no understanding, whose mouth must be held in with bit and bridle, lest they come near unto thee. Many sorrows shall be to the wicked, but he that trusteth in the Lord, mercy shall compass him about. Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, ye righteous, and shout for joy, all ye that are upright in heart." David says, "By inspiration of God, blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered." And who is in need of their sin being covered? Who is in need of their transgression being forgiven? The Bible is clear on that. We all of us have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's none of us that are good altogether. And actually, there's none of us that are good in any way outside of the grace of God that would work in us. Now, that's not man's idea about himself according to nature. Man, according to nature, feels like he's okay. He's all right. The Apostle Paul wrote about that in the Roman letter. He said, "I was alive without the law once, but then sin revived and I died." What that means is the Apostle Paul at one time in his life felt like he was a pretty good old boy, like he was okay, like he was doing all right. If he would have even said that he had any sin about him, he would probably say, "But I'm a lot better," and even did say that when he came down to the law, he had sought to be righteous and to be good according to the law, to keep it, and had lived his life in a way to be blameless before God. And even in his mind and thought, had felt like he was pretty much that way. The young rich ruler, when talking to Jesus about what good thing he could do to gain eternal life, when Jesus laid out for him in order to gain eternal life is to keep the law, he laid out the law before him and told him the things that he ought to be doing. He said something that men say by nature, what we think by nature. He said, "All these things have I kept from my youth up," that I really haven't done anything wrong. There's even some people today who are bold enough and ignorant enough to say that really I haven't done anything where I really needed to ask forgiveness for, because I've lived a good life and tried to be good, so I don't really need to ask God for forgiveness. Now, to you and me, I hope it is with you and me today, that seems really strange to have anybody have any idea or thought like that, that they thought they were good enough, that even before Almighty God, who knows the very intent of the heart, of my heart and your heart, whose eyes are in every place beholding the good and evil, that a man would be so bold or a woman would be so bold and arrogant to think that before the God of heaven, I could say, I really haven't done anything to ask forgiveness for, because I try to do what's right and try to do what's good, so I don't need forgiveness. It seems very strange to us that someone would think and say that. But I'll tell you, according to nature, that's where our mind and our thoughts are about ourselves. If it had not been for the grace of God in our lives working and allowing us to know what we are by nature, what we, who we stand before, that there's a God in heaven who cannot look upon sin, who has commanded us and has given us commandments to keep. And in Adam, and when he transgressed God's law, you and I, in Adam, Adam's sin, as Adam sinned and he died, death passed upon all men, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And if it were just left up to us to figure all that and understand all that, none of us would have ever admitted or ever confessed that. We might have said, well, I've done a few things bad, but I know a whole lot of people that have done a whole lot worse than I've done. I dare say that many of us today, if we really would be honest, have had those kinds of thoughts even maybe recently in our lives, where we feel like, yeah, I've messed up a little bit, but I know at least I didn't do what this one did, or at least I didn't do what that one did. And you know, and Adam was quick to point out that it wasn't his problem, it was that woman that you gave me, and blamed her. And of course, he not only blamed the woman, but he blamed God, because it was the woman that God had given him the reason that he had messed up, that it caused him such trouble. And you and I are quick oftentimes to look for somebody that we can blame. Have you noticed how everybody's got somebody to blame? And even in our own lives, we're looking for somebody to blame. I'll tell you, when God, though, works on you, and he allows you by his grace to really see what you are by nature and what you should be and need to be, and how far away we stand from being right before God. I mean, I'd hate to think about dying and leaving this world and having to answer God to God about all the things that I've done wrong based on my good outweighing my bad, or my, you know, all those things. And by the way, it wouldn't have to be a whole lot of bad in us. Matter of fact, without the Lord, there would be none good in us. But if we're going to be weighed in the balance and in the scales, and you put your good over here and your bad over there, even all that we might consider good, in the sight of God, if we're guilty of one point of the law, we're guilty of the entirety of the law, and that's according to the Word of God, and all of us would be in trouble. I hope you understand, and I understand today, that without the grace of God, there's no hope for us. There would be no good news if I had to tell you today that you needed to do this or to do that or to do some other thing, and if you'll just do that, then heaven will be your home and you'll have fellowship with the Lord. Well, I'll tell you, the Bible teaches us there's only one way that you and I could ever have communion and fellowship with the Lord and be righteous before him, and that is through the finished work and the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Here we have the psalmist telling us that. He said, blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Brethren, I hope it's a wonderful good news to you and to me today to believe that the Lord had a love for a people and a covenant of grace even before the foundation of the world, and all of them that he loved, he sent his only begotten Son for them. And out of every nation and kindred and tongue and people, the Lord had an elect family. And when Jesus came, he came because he loved them, and there at Calvary he took their sins in his own body, I hope and pray our sins in his own body, and at Calvary he removed the sin debt from us as far as the east is from the west, never to be remembered against us anymore. He paid every bit of the payment that was necessary. The pain and the agony that he suffered there at Calvary was because of the great love that he had for his people. And there our sins were taken from us and put upon him. Literally, yeah, put in place upon him. And there he paid for them and did everything that was necessary that one day when we die and leave this world, we'll be able to go home and be with the Lord in glory. And if that wasn't the case, there would be no hope for you or for me. He said, blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven. By the word of God, we can tell to God's little children, those who are burdened and troubled about their sins, those who are brokenhearted, those who've been made aware that, yes, I've sinned and come short of the glory of God. Some of them who've been hooked up into the law service and trying to get good enough and right enough and live good enough and try to act and behave good enough so that they would be acceptable with the Lord, but find that even when they would do good, they find evil present with them. And when they're trying to tell the truth, they find that so much of that is still a lie. And when you try to live better, and I get up in the morning and say, I'm going to do better. I'm going to act better. I'm not going to think like that. I'm not going to let my eye wander like it did yesterday. I'm not going to let my tongue go this direction or my behavior go another way. And I'm going to live better and act better so that I'll have a clear mind and conscience when I talk to the Lord and feel better about that. I'm telling you, if you're trying to get that rest in that way, you'll never have it. The only way you can have true rest about having fellowship and communion with the Lord is when you rest in what Jesus did for me. And the fullness of His grace and the effect of His work was so much so that I can call upon my Heavenly Father. And though I don't deserve for Him to hear me, He will hear me because He loved me that much. And there's absolutely nothing that can separate me or you, if we're His children, from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And there's good news for us today. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven and whose sin is covered. How could it be that my transgression is forgiven? Because Christ literally paid for that on the tree of the cross. We read over in the wonderful book of 2 Corinthians chapter 5, the language of the Apostle Paul there in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, talking about the wonderful reconciliation that God's little children have been brought under through the shed blood of Jesus. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. He says this. Reading at verse 17. He says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new, and all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them. How is it that our trespasses would not have to be paid for by us? We committed them. Why is it that we wouldn't have to pay for them? Because God took those trespasses and he did not impute those trespasses unto us. But rather he put them on his own son, and Jesus there at Calvary bore that payment in our room instead. To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself. And who's that world? It's the world of John 3:16 that God so loved. And that's not every man, woman, boy, and girl, but it's the world of his elect people. There was another world that he said, I pray not for the world, but I pray for them that are in the world in John 17. But the world of John 3:16, for God so loved the world, that's a world that He loves today, that He loved yesterday, and that He'll love forever. God doesn't change His mind and start hating a world that He once loved. The world of John 3:16 that He loved when it was written is the same world that He loves today, and that is God's little children, the world of His elect people, and not any of them will ever be separated from the God of heaven because He loved them with an everlasting, unconditional love. And eternal love. And because He loved them, because of His great love that He had for them, to wit that God was in Christ, He sent His only begotten Son, and He came as God, and He came as man, and reconciling the world unto Himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. You see, we're telling God's little children what Jesus has done. What we're preaching today doesn't make what Jesus did effective. What Jesus did is effective, but it makes it more real to you when you understand how effective Jesus did what He did. God's little children need to know that what Jesus did, He didn't try to do, He didn't want to do. He came to do the will of the Father which has sent Him, and this is the Father's will which has sent me, that of all that He had given me, how many is He going to lose? He said He's not going to lose any of them. He's going to lose nothing of all that the Father gives me. I'll lose nothing but raise them up again at the last day. You know who's going to be with the Lord at the last day? all that He loved in covenant before the foundation of the world, and that's an innumerable company out of every nation, kindred, tongue, and people, and they're not going to be there because of what they did for the Lord. They're going to be there because of what the Lord did for them. And you and I need to have peace and rest and joy about that because of what He's done for us. Our peace and our rest and joy doesn't make it so. It's so. Therefore, we ought to have peace and rest and joy about it. See the difference? It's a big difference. Because sometimes God's little children lose sight of it. Sometimes God's little children get weary in this world. We forget about it. Sometimes we don't remember it. Sometimes we don't remember all that Jesus has done for us. Sometimes the old adversary might come and cause us to even question whether we're His or whether we're not, whether we belong to Him or whether we don't. And we need to hear again the good news of what Jesus did for us so that we feel that peace and that rest and that joy here in our lives. And blessed is he whose sins and transgressions are forgiven. I want you to know today you're blessed as God's little children. He said, but could that really be me? Well, do you want it to be you? Do you long for it to be you? Do you have an understanding that you sin and come short of the glory of God? Do you understand when the Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God? That's talking about me. Do you feel like the Apostle Paul, if it's talking about anybody, it would have to be talking about me because I feel to be the chief of sinners. There's so much that I even feel right now in my very life that is so wrong with me that I like to have right and I want to have right. And even when I try to get it right, there's still that old warfare that's going on inside. And I am thankful today that my salvation isn't depending in the least in what I've done, but rather in what He's done, because everything I've ever done has been imperfect, but everything He's ever done has been completely right and perfect. And I can rest in that. And I want to rest in that today. Don't you? I want to rest in Him. I want to rest in His forgiveness. I want to rest in His love. I want to rest in His power. I want to trust in His strength and in His might. I don't want to just say it doesn't matter then how I live because salvation isn't about that. I want to understand I want to live better and act better and behave better because of what He's done for me in gratitude and in thanksgiving. I want to be better to my loved ones around me, and I want to act better as a husband. I want to act better as a father and as a grandfather. I want to live better, not in order to be accepted with God, but because He's been so very good to me. Has He been good to you? Has He not loved us? Has He not shown us that love? And how much, if He's loved us, ought we to love one another? Has He not forgiven us? If He's forgiven us, how much we ought to forgive one another. And oh, what joy and rest and peace we ought to have. I get way too scared in this world when things aren't going well. And the next thing you know, I get all disturbed. I listen to the news, listen to one of these election, you know, debates, and the next thing you know, I'm all tore up and shooken up and wondering what we're going to do. Whoa, how bad it's going to be. And forget the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords hasn't left His throne. The God of Heaven is right there. And though things may be working in a way I don't understand, I know that it, what come what may, joy or sorrow, He is my strength, He's my help, He's my happiness, He's my all in all. And therefore, as a little child of God, I ought to be trusting in Him. I ought not to get so shaken with every little wind that comes along and every little storm. And that's what David is telling us here in this passage. Back over to the Apostle Paul, he said that, to wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto Himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Verse 20 of 2 Corinthians 5. He says, now then we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. Now what is that telling God's little children? It says, be at peace with your Lord. Don't be afraid of the Lord. You ever feel like you've walked in such a bad way that the Lord wouldn't have anything to do with you? That can I cry unto Him? Can I call upon Him? I've gone so far away, will He hear me? Listen, He's loved you with an everlasting love and sent His only begotten Son here into this world. And when you're down in that low, low state and you feel like that He'll not hear you, He's promised that when we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins. When we call upon Him, He will hear our call and our cry. And it's pleasing for Him to hear His little children ask for forgiveness. As a matter of fact, He taught us to daily ask for forgiveness of our sins. Remember that wonderful prayer that He taught us to pray, the Lord's Prayer? He didn't say just to repeat those words, but He was teaching them how to pray. And in that very prayer, along with "Give me this day our daily bread," which sounds like it's a daily, at least a daily prayer, He said, "Forgive us our sins, forgive us our debts, forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who trespass, forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us." I'm telling you that if you and I don't ask Him to forgive us day in and day out, we're missing great blessings. We need to ask Him over and over. Somebody said, "Well, if He's forgiven you, why do you have to keep asking?" Because it doesn't make Him forgive you more when you ask Him to forgive you. If He's ever forgiven you, He did it at Calvary, and it was a complete forgiveness. And there is no more remembrance of those sins. But I'm telling you, in the court of your conscience, in your mind and in your heart, you and I need to come to a throne of grace daily in our lives and say, "Lord, forgive me. Lord, forgive me for thinking that. Lord, forgive me for doubting you. Lord, forgive me for holding that against that person. Lord, forgive me for having this thought." And somebody said, "Well, you know, God knows those things and we don't really have to keep asking Him." I'm telling you, if you don't ask Him and you carry that unforgiveness with you and you carry those things with you without asking Him for that, it'll burden your life down, little child of God. It'll cause you to feel like you're carrying a weight around that'll weigh you down. And the verses that we read here in this 32nd chapter of the Psalms become a reality for us. He said, "Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered." Isn't it wonderful when you can go to church and you hear about what Jesus did and really feel like it was done for you? Do you remember when you first felt that? You felt the weight of your sin so heavy. You're scared to death that if I died right now, I'd be cast away from Him. Understand I'm a sinner, and then hear about a Savior who loved me enough that He died for me and took my place and paid a sin debt it could not pay. And then really the reality of that is, when I die, I won't face that eternity of torment that would have been mine, that I really had earned and deserved, the wages of sin being death, that I would not receive that, but rather than just being delivered from hell, be able to enter into heaven in immortal glory, not because of my goodness, but because of Jesus' righteousness and what He did for me. And when you first felt that in your life, oh, what peace, what joy you felt. Just like a weight comes off of you. Like you're not bogged down. And you feel, I mean, that's happy. And your rest is not in what you did, not even in your confession of it, but in what He did. Not even in your acceptance of it, but in what He did. Listen, there are a lot of people today who are trying to rest in how well they've accepted what Jesus did for them. And they base their salvation in how much they've accepted what Jesus did for them. So they're constantly going back and trying to accept it better and trying to receive it more. Well, sometimes we get in that, don't we? Sometimes we say, "Well, I know I believed it, but I really believe it enough. I know I'm trusting Him, but am I really trusting Him enough? I want to love Him, but am I really loving Him enough?" Listen, our salvation isn't about how well we believe or how well we trusted. It's about what He did. And if He did that for us, then we ought to believe it and we ought to trust Him. And the more you believe it and the more you trust Him, the more peace and rest and joy you'll have in what Jesus did for you. The more you're enabled and strengthened to be able to live in this world and a way to honor and glorify the Lord. He said, "Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered." That word "blessed" doesn't just mean, it does mean happy. That's a happy man whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. That's a happy man who says, you know, the debt's been paid and you understand my debt's been paid. What a blessing that is. Makes you happy. But I'll tell you, it's also a blessing in the sense that we didn't earn it or merit it, but it was rather given to us. A blessing is what God's given you, not what you've earned or merited, but has come by the result as a result of God's grace. And then he said, blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and whose spirit there is no guile. That word guile means hypocrisy. And somebody said, well, I sometimes see a lot of hypocrisy in me. You ever see hypocrisy in yourself? If you don't, look at yourself a little better and read your Bible a little more and compare yourself to the light of God's Word, and you'll see even sometimes when we think we got it right, we got so much hypocrisy going on. Now that's the old man. I'll tell you, in you, if you're a little child of God, you've been born from above, He's put a new nature in you. Old things pass away, behold, all things have become new. You still have that old man, that old woman, if you will, and that conflict is going on between the inner man and the outer man, the old man and the new man, and that warfare is going on. The old man is filled with all kinds of hypocrisy. But I'll tell you, if you're born from above, He's put a new spirit in you that has no hypocrisy in it. And that new spirit is a sincere heart, a pure heart that loves the Lord, a pure heart that's looking to the Lord. And though the old man just rises up, if you keep the old man, the old woman down and under, then we walk in the inner man and the new man, then we walk pleasing to the Lord. But when the old man rises up and rules, what a mess you and I become. Y'all are familiar with that old man, that old woman that rises up. I'm not calling anybody old this morning. I'm just saying that old nature that just can, you know, the next thing you know, you said something stupid and you acted stupid, and then the old, what's the old nature try to do? Say you didn't do it. Try to cover it up. Try to ignore it. And you know how good the Lord is? He'll whip you. He'll put if He needs to put a bit and a bridle in your mouth and pull you around like a horse and a mule. He will do that to His children. He will not let loose of His children. He's a good parent. If He will correct them, He will chasten them. And it's so much better, though, to be obedient and listen to our Heavenly Father and walk in good fellowship with Him here in this world than to be going along having to be paddled all the time and taken out to the woodshed all the time. You ever had the Lord take you back out to the woodshed? Oh, how many times? One of the greatest evidence that you'll ever have you belong to Him is when you feel His chastisement. Does He let you get away with stuff? You found out I don't get away with you. Sometimes we think I done got away with it, but the Lord doesn't allow us to get away with it. He calls us out, and oh, His mercy and His grace, it's so much He's forgiven us for. But I'm telling you, as we live here in this world, walking in obedience, the joys and blessings of that far outweigh what we can find if we walk in disobedience. And He keeps us and tells us that in this passage. He said, blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and whose spirit there is no guile. In other words, they're born of the Spirit, born from above. Verse 3. He said, when I kept silence, my bones waxed old through my roaring all the day long. For day and night thy hand was heavy upon me. My moisture is turned into the drought of summer. Selah. And that's a little child of God who just won't confess his need of the Lord to the Lord. A little child of God at times who forgets that I need to ask God for forgiveness. A little child of God that forgets the goodness and the mercy of the Lord and just starts running in the world and in the course of this world. And how well do God's little children get along when they go that route? Now, the Scripture says that when I kept silence, that is, even praising God or calling upon the Lord, when I kept silence, if we don't communicate with Him, He says, my bones waxed old through my roaring all the day long. I'll tell you, for God's little, the man of the world can get along just fine in this world because this world is home, but a little child of God needs communication and fellowship with the Lord in his life, and he needs that every day. Really, as the little sister wrote in that hymn, every hour I need thee. I need him to be with me. See, even the good things in my life, I miss them and can't see the blessings of God in my life when I'm not communicating with him and I'm not looking to him and praying to him. Praying, asking him to forgive me and praying him and ask him to help me and help me to live and act and way in a way that will honor and glorify the Lord. He said, when I kept silence, my bones waxed old through my roaring all the day long. For day and night thy hand was heavy upon me. My moisture is turned into the drought of summer, Selah. And then verse 5, here this brother was brought to the place. Can you imagine David after his sin with Bathsheba and there trying to cover it all up with Uriah? He was a man after the Lord's own heart, even when he was involved in all that sin. We think, how could a man of God act that way? Listen, you can read throughout the Scripture that God's little children from time to time have fallen into grievous sins in their life. What David needed to find was that peace and that rest that came in simply coming to the Lord and confessing his sins and asking God's forgiveness. And when he asked and begged God to forgive him, and read the 51st chapter of the Psalms, and you'll see that David grieved and begged God to clean him. Wash me and clean me up, Lord. I've sinned against thee. And he confessed that before the Lord. Here he said in verse 5, he said, I acknowledge my sin unto thee, and mine iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. Now, he didn't just forgive him because he confessed. He forgave him because Jesus died for him and paid the sin debt for him. That's where forgiveness comes from. But I'll tell you what confession does. It brings the reality of that to the conscience and the heart of the little child of God. And that the confession itself just doesn't... Somebody said just confess it and not fix it. Listen, that doesn't fix a thing. If it wasn't for the blood of Jesus, without the shedding of blood, all of the confession in this world would not do one thing. And he didn't go confess it to some man somewhere on this earth. He said, confessed it unto the Lord. There may be things we need to confess to one another and ask God to forgive, one another to forgive us for. But I'm telling you, ultimately, the one we confess our sins to is the Lord. He's the one who forgives us of our sins. I mean, he doesn't forgive us because we confess, but we get the reality of his forgiveness and feel the effects of his forgiveness in our lives as he cleanses our conscience from those things. And if we try to hold that, have you ever just tried to hold it? I'm not going to say anything. I just ignore it. I act like that's not a problem. And your life just gets to be a burden. You ever just tried to, I'm not going to talk about it. I'll tell you, you go to the Lord. Take those things to the Lord and ask Him for forgiveness, and you'll find a peace and a rest and a joy in doing that. He said, I acknowledge my sin unto thee, and mine iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin, Selah. It says, for this shall everyone that is godly pray unto thee in a time when thou mayest be found. Surely in the floods of great waters they shall not come nigh unto him. Thou art my hiding place. Thou shalt preserve me from trouble. Thou shalt compass me about with songs of deliverance. Selah. This is the wonderful grace, the providential care of the Lord for his people here in this world. That didn't mean we're not going to have troubles. Listen, you're going to go through troubles in this world. You're going to have sickness just like everybody else and problems. And maybe more so in this world. But we have what a friend we have in Jesus. And when we look to Him, we've got a solid foundation for every problem, for every trouble. We have one we can look to in the storms of life. We have the needs and He supplies them according to His good pleasure and according to His will. And He knows better than we know. His thoughts are higher above our thoughts as far as the heavens are above the earth. His ways and thoughts are above our ways and thoughts. And what we thought might be best may not be best at all. And though that's hard for us to handle sometimes, we can have a great peace and understanding God knows. And we can rest in Him. He said, thou shalt compass me with songs of deliverance. I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. The Lord has left His Word here for us as a guide in this world. He can use providential things in our life too to guide us. The circumstances of our life can direct us. We think we're going to run this way and God says, nope, here's a bump in the road here. We'll change that course quickly. And you think I'm going in this direction. This is what my plans are. This is what I'm going to do. And God says, nope, this is the plan. This is the direction. This is the way. Then we have His Word just to guide us and direct us along the way. The Lord is guiding us, and He guides us with His eye. And His eyes, He has perfect vision. His eyes in every place. When you're following the leadership of the Lord, you're not going to go astray. When we try to figure it out ourselves and go by our own ways, we're trusting an eye that's so easily misled and misguided. He said, I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. And I love this warning. He says, be ye not as a horse or as a mule. That means without understanding. You know, a horse and a mule, especially a mule, is ornery and hard-headed. I remember a long, long time ago now, it's probably why my knees ache and hurt. I had one of those ball games where you had a mule you had to ride, and you'd hit the ball and get on the mule and try to ride to first base or to second base, and you soon find out a mule goes where he wants to go and doesn't. I was still a big fella, but I was able to pull. Then I pulled that little mule from the home plate to first base. I just grabbed him and pulled him. But you know, it isn't easy to pull a mule. He was a little mule, but I'm telling you, he was ornery and he's hard headed. And sometimes we, as God's little children, sometimes we want to go our way, don't we? We want to do our thing. You know, God's powerful enough to pull us wherever He would have us to go. He will lead you. He will direct you. Sometimes, though, it's much better to follow Him obediently rather than being like the horse and the mule that has no understanding. You and I living in this world as God's little children need to use His Word as our guide and our direction so that we're not like the horse and the mule. He says, whose mouth must be held in with a bit and a bridle, lest they come near unto thee. In other words, they have to be made to obey in a very hard and difficult way. It's much better to listen to our Heavenly Father and follow Him without having to deal with all the chastisements that are good for us and necessary. Every time He applies them, they're needed. But how much better it is for just to trust, as the hymn writer said, trust and obey. For there's no other way to be happy in Jesus than to trust and obey. He says, many sorrows shall be to the wicked. And that's God's little children even at times. You say, well, they're not the wicked. Well, when we walk in evil ways, we become like the wicked. We become walking contrary to what He would have us to do. Many sorrows shall come to us. And certainly many sorrows come to the wicked. Don't be envious of the wicked. Sometimes we look at folks and think, well, they live any old way and get along just fine. Don't have any problems or any troubles. Listen, don't be envious of them. Because as soon as a man lifts himself up, the higher he lifts himself up, the bigger the fall is going to be. And the crash is coming. No man's going to stand and act like he's God without having God strike him down and bring down. And he'll be answering. He'll answer to him. He'll answer him in this world. And if God hasn't changed his heart and worked in him, he'll answer eternally. There's a judgment that comes. Don't be envious of the wicked. Listen, Nebuchadnezzar thought he was all that, but God soon showed him what he was, showed him over and over again. And don't think we don't have some Nebuchadnezzaritis in us from time to time that brings God to the place where we have to be brought, like the mule, by bit and bridle in our mouth, to a place we're made to acknowledge Him. The king Nebuchadnezzar acknowledged Him over and over again. He just kept forgetting. Let us not forget. Let us remember. He says, many sorrows shall be to the wicked, but he that trusteth in the Lord, that's where we want to trust this morning. He's the one I can trust in. Young or old, you can trust in the Lord. He loved you enough to die for you. Heaven's your home because of what Jesus did for you. He's with you every day, every morning. As you go to bed at night, He's the one right there watching over you. When you rise in the morning, the Lord is there. He's still with us. We ought to remember that as we go through our days, as we face our problems and our troubles. Remember to trust in the Lord. It says, he that trusteth in the Lord, mercy shall compass him about. When we're like that, be glad in the Lord. You know, there's something to be glad in today. Somebody said, I have nothing to be happy about. Oh, are your sins forgiven? You got a whole lot to be happy about. When you die, you're going to heaven. That's a lot to be happy about. And while you're living here, God's going to take care of you every step of the way. You belong to Him. Nothing can separate you from Him. You're His not because of your choice of Him, but rather His choice of you. And there's nothing that can cause you to fall out of that. It's because of His great love. And in that, you and I ought to be glad. Be glad in the Lord. And rejoice. Remember, is it Philippians, I believe, 4:4? It says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, rejoice. You ever get to where you're not rejoicing? We've forgotten something, haven't we? And when we get to where we're not rejoicing, we've forgotten something. Rejoice in the Lord. Be glad in the Lord and rejoice. Ye righteous. Now, who's righteous? How did we get to be righteous? We have His imputed righteousness. It's not us. It's not ours. It's what He's given us. His work of forgiveness took away our sins, but it was also another work where He gave us His righteousness. He didn't just take away our guilt and our sins, but He gave us His righteousness. What He merited, He gave and earned, He gave to us, and what we merited, He took in Himself. Oh, what wondrous love the Lord has shown to us, that we might be called the sons of God. Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, ye righteous, and shout for joy. God's little children don't shout nearly enough for joy. We ought to be shouting for joy. We got a joyful noise to make. When we get down and discouraged with one another, and I'm talking on the phone with somebody, and I'm saying how bad everything's looking and all of that, remember to remind me, listen, you need to be shouting for joy, because we got a joyful, blessed is that people that know the joyful sound. What is the joyful sound? The Savior came, and He died, and He went to the grave, and He's a resurrected Savior. Our Savior's seated on the right hand of the Father. You got a problem? Talk to Him. He's there all the time. You got a need? What a friend we have in Jesus. If you don't even know what's wrong with you, go to Him. He's a great physician. He knows exactly what's wrong with you and is able to supply exceedingly abundantly above anything you could ask or think. And if we ask for a good thing, He won't give us something that's not good for us. And if we ask for a bad thing, He loves us enough to withhold those bad things from us and give us what we truly need. So whether we get it or we don't, or whether we live or whether we die, we can trust in the Lord and all is well. It is well with my soul. And brethren, that's a peaceable, joyous way to live. And there's no other peace or joy in this world than what you'll find in trusting in Jesus and what He's done for you. Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, ye righteous. Righteous in that you have the imputed righteousness of Christ. And shout for joy, all ye that are upright in heart. And you know who's upright in heart? The one who's had a hard and stony heart removed and been given a heart of flesh, that's been the heart that the Lord has circumcised and given. It's a righteous heart. It's a pure heart. It comes from the Lord. And all those blessings come from Him. I'll tell you, we have every reason today to be encouraged and trusting in the Lord, leaning upon Him. The very fact that you've been forgiven ought to make you so happy that nothing else really should be bothering us today to remember what He's done for us. Heaven awaits because of what He's done for us. And I can go to Him in prayer today and He will hear me. Not because I'm good enough, but because my Savior was all that was necessary and He's seated on the right hand of the Father making intercession for us. I do appreciate your kind attention. When you have a mind to pray, remember me and God bless you.